And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to have a volume of secrets, things that the controlled mainstream media, that's what they call them, you know, mainstream media, well, they simply won't tell you. Or if they do, they do a lot of tap dancing and go around dodges and through the bushes and through the brambles. We're, as it says that old song, where a rabbit wouldn't go. Well, they go because they're trying to dodge the truth. But you know, there's something about truth. It just keeps popping back up. It never quits. It is like that ever ready battery bunny. It just keeps on going. And no matter how many lies they tell you, it seems that God has given many of us a discernment meter. You know, sort of a detector, like a lie detector test. And you just know when these jackals are telling us lies. I know many of you out there write me letters and send me materials and things from your local newspapers or research you've done on your own. I read my mail every day and I just thank God there's so many people out there, at least when I say so many, I mean you're the minority when you look at the whole nation. You're just a few, but you've got it figured out. You have discernment. And you know, when you're given discernment by God, and I think that's who the real truth teller is, who identifies the lies. And when you have that great ability to tell the truth, and oh, what a wonderful gift that is from God, your whole life changes. You read the newspapers every day. You watch the press on TV. You listen to the talking heads, you know, and all these shows from C-SPAN to CNBC Business News to Fox Network, MSNBC, CNN, and you can figure out what's true. You listen to the liars, and it just all unravels in your brain. They say A, but you know B. They say C, but you know it's really D. You know, there's an old saying, I don't even think it's funny, but maybe it is in a way. You know, how do you know a politician is lying? When their mouth moves. I think that's true, don't you? Very, very few truth tellers today. Well, hey, here's a lie that's going around the internet. I just wanted to correct it. It seems that there's this nut out there. He's absolutely a wacko. I wouldn't tell you his name because it'd make him feel too good. And he keeps putting these things on there. He makes up material and he puts out YouTube videos. And they all say something to the effect that Tex Mars tears into Ron Paul. Tex Mars bashes Ron Paul. Tex Mars smashes Ron Paul. I mean, each of them, they change a little bit. And these things keep popping up all over the internet. I really think it's a Ron Paul hater, and he wants everybody to think that Tex Mars is also a Ron Paul hater. Now listen, folks, I actually admire Ron Paul when you compare him to other politicians. Now there are people out there that are worried he could be a Freemason, and he might be. I haven't been able to investigate that. I haven't taken the time. I've got so much on my agenda right now, but even then, they almost all are, or worse. He's still better than the rest of them. If you compare, I mean, you know, grade him on a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being the best, I'd say he gets at least an 8 or 9. So all the faults you talk about, okay, maybe that's why he doesn't get a 10 on my truth-o-meter. Okay, the dial, you know. But listen. Compared to the others, he is a saint. Notice I said compared to the others in Washington, D.C., Republican and Democrat. He was a breath of fresh air during the debates. So come on, give me a break. Whatever I've said about Ron Paul, and I think he needs to take a stand on homosexuality rather than inviting those creeps into his meetings and such. Yeah, there are a few things that I would, you know, I would change and advise him differently. But when you compare him, come on, to Newt Gingrich and Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Rick Saint Santorum, as he calls himself, and Rick Oops Man Terry. Well, Ron Paul is the best of the lot. So you liar out there that keeps putting these things out about Texamars tearing into Ron Paul, just shut up, you know? And then there's another guy, that he's trying to pick a fight with me and my friend Alex Jones. And he says things, Texamars is, and he uses a curse word. At Texamars is blank, meaning curse word, over Alex Jones. Or Texamars, same thing. Texamars bashes Alex Jones. Texamars criticizes Alex Jones. And a lot of it will say, Texamars, you know, says that Alex Jones is absolutely wrong about the Jesuits. Now, friends, I don't listen to Alex every day on his national talk show. I don't even know what he thinks about the Jesuits, but I have never bashed him about the Jesuits. You know, they're trying, you know, Jerry's here in my studio, my radio man. He's our technician, really runs the place, you know. Sometimes I think he tells me what to say too. I'm just one of those talking ventriloquists over here. But Jerry, these people try to pick fights that don't even exist. I mean, give me some time. Maybe Alex and I will have it out someday. I don't know what about. I've been friends with the likes of Alex for, I don't know what, 15 years. I don't want to exaggerate. But we knew each other many years ago. In fact, when he first started out, you know, I came to know Alex. And, I was probably on one of his very first TV programs back in the old days when he was on cable access and all that. He was a young man, and I was even younger, you know. Oh, no, I just lied about Alex. No, he's a lot younger than me. Anyway, folks, let me give you two secrets. One is I've never torn into Ron Paul, but I have complained because so many homosexuals are part of the Republican Party, and I think they just taint and poison any system, religious, political, cultural, whatever. But hey, Ron Paul is a politician. He wants to invite all categories. He'd like for everybody to vote for him, homosexual or not. So that's his choice. I still disagree with it, but I'm not tearing into him. I mean, they all do. They all kiss the soles of the shoes of the homosexual crowd. Mitt Romney, Barack Obama, all of them. So, you know, he's the best of the lot, though. But he's already been beaten for the Republican nomination. He probably ought to run on a third party, but he says he's not going to. So I suspect he won't. Maybe you ought to encourage him to do that. Because as I said, I would endorse him over the others. Now, some people say, Tex, he's only the best of three evils. You know, Romney, Obama, and Paul. He's the best of three evils, and we should not vote for any evil. You know, sometimes I sort of think that's true myself. Just stay out of politics. It's a hellhole of despair and misery. But hey, it's what we've got. I mean, if you can do a little bit of good, do it, okay? That's what I say. Don't waste your time in the political system thinking you're really going to make wholesale changes, folks. You're not. There will only be little cosmetic things. Because our system is controlled. The American dream is shot. Okay? It is. But that doesn't mean we're going to just lay down and take it, folks. We got to fight. We're going to fight to the end. Even Jesus told us to occupy occupy. You know what that means? Don't give up any ground. I like what it says in the New Testament, that we are to smash the very gates of hell. Smash. You know what? You're doing something. You're going after them. Listen to what it says about the devil in the New Testament. It says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. That's principle number one. And then it continues, resist the devil. That's principle number two. And then it continues. That's right. It's all together in one big lump. And it says, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, a lot of folks miss the first part. And they think they can resist the devil, and he'll flee from them. No, he won't. He's not afraid of you. You're a puny nothing, my friends. The devil's been around for who knows how many hundreds of thousands of years. He's got everything all figured out except that knowledge that God has that nobody is going to access except who the Lord wants. And the devil's been cast out and has no access anymore to God other than when God calls him up and makes him give account. So listen to me. Submit yourself, therefore, to God, and then he will empower you. He will live in you, and then you can resist the devil successfully. In fact, if you have God on your side, in fact, I'm talking about in your heart, Jesus inside of you, living in you, that's the hope of glory. Forget about Obama's hope. I'm talking about the real hope. The blessed hope. You have Jesus in you, then you have the power to resist the devil. And he cannot resist God working through you. If you don't have God, he'll laugh at you. He'll smirk. He'll mock you. Okay. So there I go. The best way to change the world is to start with God. Submit yourself to God. And then you'll make a lot of difference right here on earth. Probably make a difference even in politics if you choose to get involved in it. You'll be a role model, an exemplar. Okay. Now, I want to talk about some secrets. First of all, John Roberts, Supreme Court Chief Justice, John Roberts. Now, next week, I'm going to have a special program about the vicious, satanic, homosexual nest. That's what it is. It's a nest. Like a nest of wasp or a bees. Have you ever been out in the woods and you just ran accidentally into a bee's hive? And they began to sting the dickens out of you? I've been close to a few things like that in life. And certainly I've gone into very tight places only to discover that about 1 foot above me looking up, there was a great big old wasp nest. And I remember one day I looked up, there was a wasp nest. I was just a little boy. One came down and stung me on the back of the neck. And boy, I did some moving getting out of that little place. It was just a little shed. And me and a friend found it in an abandoned farmhouse. We said, let's go see what's in there. Well, there wasn't anything in there except a wasp nest. And when that happens, friends, well, you know, you're in a fight. And the best thing you can do is flee. It's not like the devil. Wasps don't have the brains of the devil. They just know to sting if you get close to their nest and they think you're going to harm their whatever, their nest or their home. You'd probably do the same thing if somebody tried to get in your home and mess with you, wouldn't you? So they're nature's creatures and they do that. Now, listen, I'm going to talk later about this satanic, vicious nest of homosexuals that literally runs our government. They do. And they have Zionist backers. The Zionists are behind the homosexual revolution in America. I can prove that and I will prove it. They want to change America. They want to tear it down. They want to break it away from its Christian heritage and roots. And one of the ways to do this, destroy the family and promote homosexuality. And I'm going to cover that in depth. And listen, folks, I know what I'm talking about. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How many ways? All of them. A homosexual is double-minded. You're made to be a man or a woman. It's not, as they say, not Adam and Steve, it's Adam and Eve. You're made to be a man or a woman, and to mate with a man if you're a woman, and with a man if you're, a, you know, well, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. A man for a woman and a woman for a man, period. But the Illuminati elite and the Zionists have perverted what should be just human nature made by God. And they promote the effeminate, the homosexuals, so that men do things that they should not with women and vice versa, as Paul says it. And the Apostle Paul says in the New Testament, those who do so, being, of course, double-minded, being unnatural, having, as Paul describes it, unnatural affections. Did you get that? Unnatural affections. And he says, because they do these things, then listen to this, listen to me. God turns them over to a reprobate mind. Go to Webster's. Go to your dictionaries and look up what the word reprobate means. It means everything natural has been overturned. It means you're immoral. You're wicked. You're not pure. You're dirty. You're nasty. You're filthy. There's nothing good or clean about you. You're an unclean person. That's reprobate. That's one of the worst things you could say about a man or a woman, that they've turned reprobate, that they've been turned over to a reprobate mind. At one time, they may have been sort of an okay person. But when God turns them over to a reprobate mind, he does it right. When I say right, I mean that's what they become. There's no pussyfooting about it. You can't argue with it. When you show me a homosexual, I will tell you he is a reprobate. She is a reprobate. Well, now you just don't know them. They're really a nice person. Shut up! They're not a nice person. They're an actor. They're a pretender. Psychopaths are often called nice people. They're your next door neighbors. Well, they're the man that works in the desk next to you. They work in the same shop. In some blue-collar profession as you do. Yeah, and don't turn around or they'll stab you in the back, cut your throat in the wink of an eye. Psychopaths. And they have no sympathy, no empathy. They don't care for your feelings or anything about human beings at all. They're unnatural. They're really monsters. Homosexuals are monsters. And he said, well, you know, I have a cousin. I have a brother. I have a aunt. I have a sister. I have a mother. And she or he are homosexual. Are you telling me they're reprobate? Listen, friends, did I stutter? I gave you God's word. Don't argue with God. Believe what he said. It will pan out. Believe me. It will work out exactly as he says. Justify all day long. It won't work. You wait and see. Now, John Roberts, I think I was the only, Jerry, I think I was the only talk show host in America when John Roberts was nominated for the Supreme Court, right here on this radio program, and in my newsletter, I told people this. I said, John Roberts is a homosexual. I told you that. He is a homosexual. You say, Tex, how did you know that? How do you know that? I know it. I'm not going to tell you how I know it. I know it. I told you the truth. I said it in advance that he is a homosexual. Now, he's a married man. His children, they had to adopt. A lot of homosexuals marry women to make it look good. They got to have a wife. Or they, if she's a lesbian, she marries a man. And often they marry a homosexual like themselves. And they live lives of pretense. And then they go out and swing with, you know, their kind and bars and such. And I told you that John Roberts nominated to the Supreme Court by George W. Bush, the president, was a homosexual. And that's why he had to adopt kids. He doesn't want to have sex with women, including his wife. But he has a wife to make it look good, have someone in his arm, to go to parties and little teas and little meetings at the White House and with the other judges. That's what homosexuals do. Now, I said to you directly that John Roberts was not a conservative. Because conservatives hold to traditional values. No homosexual can hold to traditional values. They're murderers, they're liars, they're robbers, they're cheats, they're fraudsters. They have a reprobate mind. This man, I said, if he is put into office by the Senate, only the Senate's approval is needed to approve a man who's been nominated for the Supreme Court. And I said, if he goes in the Supreme Court, you wait and see. He will not vote for traditional values, nor the Constitution of the United States. He will go the way of the Zionist homosexual crowd. And you know what that is? Socialism, communism, collectivism, the death of American traditions, the death of the Constitution. I told you. Now, he was trotted out by George W. Bush, and every Christian evangelical in America applauded. He must be a wonderful conservative man. He's married. Why, he's even got a adopted child. He's a lovely man. George W. Bush, our hero, our conservative Christian. First of all, George W. Bush himself is a bisexual, evil man. That's why his wife, Laura Bush, herself is evil. So she's so sweet. I'm telling you, friends, what do I have to say? The one of the largest library systems in Texas asked Laura Bush to nominate a play or a book for this big exhibit. And she said, sure, my favorite play, the one I would nominate to be the very best of Texas, is the play, which was turned into a movie, called The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. That's her idea of the theater and arts, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. They had a big press meeting, and Laura Bush was invited to speak. And before all the press of America, she came up and gave a joke about, I hope, if there's some kids there, send them out of the room. Because the first lady actually told the press of America, and it was nationally televised, internationally televised, I suppose. She told a joke about her husband, George Bush, masturbating a horse. You say, that can't be true. Tex, you're a big, fat liar. Well, I may be big and fat, but I'm not a liar. You can probably Google it up right now. Telling a joke about her husband, the president, masturbating a horse. What kind of an evil, crooked mind woman is that? And by the way, now that she's left the presidential mansion, she's been interviewed about what she really believes about abortion. She smiles wanly and says, yes, I am for reproductive rights. That means abortion, killing babies. And of course she would be, as John Roberts will prove to be. Wait and see. Now, John Roberts is gay. Now, here's sort of an interesting thing for you. Who approved the guy? Well, George W. Bush had to nominate him. And as I've just told you, George W. Bush has long been known in the state of Texas as a bisexual. I know that is a shock to people because you've never been told that. I'm telling you now, but I've told you a dozen times before. Now, as far as Roberts goes, he was vetted. That's the name they call it. Now, the term they call checked out, investigated, approved, you know, given a thorough look at. First by Alberto Gonzalez, the Attorney General of the United States, who interviewed him and recommended him to be nominated for the Supreme Court Justice post by Bush. Alberto Gonzalez. Now remember, Alberto Gonzalez is the one who told George Bush, it's okay to break the Geneva Conventions to violate international rights of suspects and to torture them. It's all right for America to arrest people without a warrant, take them away to a secret gulag concentration camp, and torture them, perhaps all the way to death. It's all right. It's legal. Of course it's not legal. But that's what Gonzalez, the monster, the murderer, attorney general said. Then after he had interviewed John Roberts and really liked what he saw, he sent him over to Karl Rove, the brain who worked at the White House and ran the political campaigns and so forth for George W. Bush. Now, Karl Rove is as queer as a $3 bill. He's a homosexual. He's known for being a homosexual. The press corps in Washington, D.C. laugh and snicker about him being a homosexual. In fact, George W. Bush being so stupid and having possibly an IQ of, I don't know, I'm exaggerating here, 28, actually told a reporter, well, I won't get into that. Let me just say that Karl Rove himself was asked by a reporter, what was the nickname given to him by the president? Now, I hope you've sent the kids out of the room. Karl Rove smiled and said, Turd Blossom. Friends, if you work for the president and he gives you a nickname and it's Turd Blossom, I think every homosexual American knows what that means. It means a flower that comes out after it's been seeded and watered in a certain area of the body. Can you believe the president of the United States would call his chief political advisor and confidant in the White House Turd Blossom? Well, they have the cute little funny names between themselves, even in the bedroom, if you get my gist. Folks, it is sickening. It is disgusting. It is despicable. So Karl Rove talks to John Roberts, interviews him, and was happy to approve him. Now, Karl Rove has written his White House memoir called Courage and Consequence. I thumbed through the book. I didn't want to read it. It looked like just a piece of junk. But I read it very fast. I'm a fast reader. And I noticed that he had in the book, his memoir, the account of when he interviewed Supreme Court nominee John Roberts to see if he would be okay. So remember, Bush was relying on Gonzalez, the attorney general, and on Karl Rove, his campaign advisor, for an opinion about John Roberts. Now, Rove obviously knew that John Roberts was homosexual, as is Karl Rove, as was his boss and is his boss, George W. Bush. And he asked John Roberts to go back in history and name the justice of the Supreme Court that was like his favorite, his role model, his exemplar. Now, when we come back in a minute, I'm going to tell you who John Roberts chose and actually told Karl Rove, this is my ideal of a Supreme Court justice. John Roberts said, this is the man I admire the most since the early days of the Marshall Court. You know, in the days of Marbury versus Madison and all those decisions back when American nation was first founded. Here is the one Supreme Court justice I most admire that's ever been on the Supreme Court. You'll hear in a moment who John Roberts said was his favorite, his role model. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars, exposing some of the secrets they wish you would never have found out about. I'll be right back. Well, hello, friends. Tex Mars again. You know, I was recently reading a story, and the headline goes this way. It's a press story. Congressional Budget Office warns of recession in 2013. Well, it looks like the recession sort of snuck up on them. I wonder, have we ever been out of recession since 2008, in fact. But they're saying we could have another recession in 2013. Friends, we're in a recession right now. Things have gotten worse the last couple of months. Have you noticed? Meanwhile, though, food prices haven't stopped going up, up, up. And because of this incredible drought and the horrible bouts of bad weather with hurricane force winds hitting the Midwest and the East Coast even, a lot of farmers have lost their crops, corn, barley, soybeans, and so forth, wheat, and especially corn. Guess what? Prices are going up. Cereals, canned goods. I mean, I'm already seeing companies like Kraft and Kellogg's and General Mills and Ralston's, they're already raising their prices to the food stores. And you're going to see these prices go up. And it seems that, you know, if they raise their price 8 cents for a can of beans, the food store adds another 2 or 3 cents on their behalf. And then what have you got? You know, you're up, 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 up. I mean, I pay attention to the stock market and to the commodities markets, and they tell you months in advance what the prices will be in the food stores, and things are getting bad. Now, listen to me, not only that, but we're on the verge of something very ominous and very bad happening. I call it the quickening. Now, as weeks go by, I'm going to talk more and more about this quickening. It's the escalation of events in the world. Escalation, a race toward judgment, dear friends. I did a book many years ago entitled Rush to Armageddon. That's where we're at. We're rushing forward. The culmination of all things may be at hand. And frankly, food is going to be an obsession with the majority of people. It could end with a lot of food stores closing their doors because they can't even get stocks in. We're going to have problems. And they're trying to start civil wars in the United States. They're trying to get black people to hate whites and whites to hate black. And they stand back and just watch as we kill each other. Don't fall for that. If you're a white person and blacks hate you, you don't have to hate back. Just protect your family, though. Here's one way to protect your family and yourself. It's with a food supply, dry foods. You know, back in Y2K era, we offered dry food from a company called Alpine Air. Alpine Air, that's A-I-R-E. Alpine, like the mountain range, Air, Alpine Air. And most people were very happy. In fact, I don't remember anybody that really complained about the food that we offered. It's reasonably priced for now. And we're now offering, you know, so much like 90 days food supply for a family of four, or, you know, 6 months food supply for one person, different categories. And I believe Alpine Air, like most food companies, they're going to be forced to raise their prices in coming months. You may want to consider now buying, like, if you can afford it, a supply for 120 days or 180 days or for a whole year for your family. So if the food store system breaks down, you'll still have food. It'll be dried food. It'll be able to, Jerry, I don't know how long this lasts, but I think 7, 8, 10 years. Okay, 10 years this will last. And I know for a fact, every once in a while, Wanda goes through our refrigerator and she says, look at this. We never ate that. Now I'm going to have to throw it away. It's so old. And of course, I run over and say, no, don't do that. It's probably still. And you know, Wanda seems to have, she just knows when it's bad, it's bad. And she said, well, if you want me to, I'll defrost it, but you wait and see, it's going to turn out bad. And it usually does. So now I've learned to just sort of be quiet and go along with her. She didn't want to throw away food, so we try not to let that happen, you know, but being, you know, modest in our purchases and such, but sometimes it happens. But think about this. This food will last 10 years. And it's there for emergencies. You know, just put it aside, put it in your pantry. Put it, hide it in the closet. You know, if you got a shelter underground, put it in the shelter underground where the critters can't get to it, because it's packaged in such a way that, boy, a raccoon or something would have to be one strong dude to get in this stuff. You know, it's in cans and in Oh, well, it's almost impregnable. And I want you to know about Alpine Air. If you get our newsletter, you'll see a full page, in fact, it's front and back, that describes what you can buy in this food system from us. Now, I know there are other ministries or other groups that offer food supplies, you know, the dried food kind. But I think we offer the best and the best price. And we really checked it out because I think people should be treated fair and have good food at a reasonable price. And that's what we've done. So Tex Mars has checked it out. I've investigated. You can buy our Alpine Air brand of dried food supply, or dehydrated, whatever they call it, and be ready for the next big emergency that hits. And you know, it's not just civil war. It's not just running out of food. But if you buy a year's supply or 2 years supply, I guarantee you next year it'll probably cost you at the food store, even if the food stores are operating, 20 to 30 to 50% more. So get it now before inflation sets in. Okay. Now, if you get our newsletter, pull it out and look at this literature inside that'll tell you how to buy this. If you don't get our newsletter, go online at powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com, or texmars.com, texemarrs.com, online, and just click on it right there on the homepage, and it'll describe everything to you. Great food products, and it'll give you specifically what's in each can, what's in each package, how much it costs, et cetera, how much for shipping. All right? Alpine Air. Now, if you don't have the internet, if you don't receive our newsletter now, well, call us and ask for a copy of our most recent newsletter. We'll send you some information and ask specifically for information about our food supply, Alpine Air. Now, it takes so long to explain it all on, you know, on the telephone that the sweet lady or man that answers your inquiry will probably just put it in an envelope and send to you. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673, and say, give me information on Alpine Air. Text told me about it on the radio, and we'll send it right out to you, okay? But again, it's now on powerprophecy.com. And if you got this month's newsletter, if you get it regularly, then grab it and look inside it, and you'll see a flyer on it, a page. Actually, it'll be two pages. Okay, front and back side. Alpine Air. It's ready for you when an emergency occurs. Could be a flood situation. Could be a hurricane, a tornado. Whatever is the case, you'll be there. You'll be ready. You'll have food for yourself, your loved ones. And maybe if you have enough for some neighbors as well. Now let's return to our regular program. Again, I want to tell you our phone number. Those of you who are able to afford love gifts, donations, tithes, offering to the ministry. Boy, we need your help. We really do. We couldn't exist without it. Please send your love gift, your offering, your tithe, donation to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can also go to powerofprophecy.com, and there's a little block there you can click on that allow you to give a gift with your PayPal account, your charge card, right there online. And God bless you. You cannot outgive God. I know that. Okay, let's talk about some more secrets. We're talking about John Roberts. When Rove asked Roberts, Carl Rove, to go back in history to name the Supreme Court justice who he most admired, Roberts didn't have to think long. He said, well, that would be Robert Jackson. Robert Jackson. Folks, would you like to know who Robert Jackson was when he was appointed to the Supreme Court by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the red pinko commie president we had in office during the Depression and World War II, who got us into World War II, by the way, on purpose, who covered up the scandal of Pearl Harbor. He knew the Japanese were going to attack, but he let them attack and kill those poor men there in Pearl Harbor because he wanted World War II. because the Jews had asked him to do it, told him to do it. Well, Franklin Roosevelt's attorney general, Mr. Liberal himself, Mr. Zionist too, by the way, one of the chief Zionists in America, was Judge Robert Jackson, and FDR appointed him to the Supreme Court. Now here comes, remember, FDR is the most left-wing ideologue ever in American history to be president of the United States. And his attorney general, he made a Supreme Court justice, Robert Jackson. And here's Roberts telling Rove, the man I admire most is Robert Jackson. Do you get it? And Rove said that really impressed him favorably. Makes you wonder if Jackson wasn't gay like these guys, like these duds were. By the way, Dick Cheney was in there in the decision process somewhere. You know, Dick Cheney recently said of his daughter's marriage, he thought it was splendid. It was one of the most beautiful things he could imagine. His daughter's marriage. Now that just makes you want to cry. Until you realize his daughter, Dick Cheney's daughter, is a flaming faggot lesbian. Well, okay, that's why he thinks it's so beautiful. And by the way, Dick Cheney's wife, Lynn Cheney, not only was a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C., but she wrote novels. Sex novels. Lesbian sex novels. You say, Tex, that's incredible. The vice president's, why wouldn't we have known about that? I mean, the vice president's wife writing lesbian sex novels? That can't be. Folks, I don't make it up. I just report it. Now, here's Roberts then, and boy, this homosexual pervert has his little mitts on the Supreme Court Chief Justice post. And in comes the Arizona Immigration Act. Arizona's Immigration Act. What do you think old Roberts did? Yeah, you're right. He voted to close it down. He said, no, you can't do those things. You're taking the power that belongs to the federal government. The federal government is the only one that can do things. See what I'm saying, folks? Collectivism. Robert Jackson style. Collectivism. Communism. Socialism. So the first thing Roberts did, the biggest thing, was to kill three of the four provisions of the Arizona Immigration Act. It was also Alabama's as well. That means basically that Obama can continue to violate the federal laws and refuse to deport illegal aliens. And John Roberts says that's his prerogative, basically. He voted for the liberals, for the left-wingers, with Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Elena Kagan and, oh, Angela Sotomayor. Oh, three lesbians, Jewish lesbians. And then there's Stephen Breyer. I wonder what sex orientation he is. Pro-homosexual, as a minimum. Pro-abortion and all that. So after the Arizona Immigration Act basically was killed by Roberts and his fellow liberal homosexual perverts on the Supreme Court, up comes the Obamacare law. And everybody said, oh, we've got it made now. John Roberts will kill that. He and Scalia and Alito and, you know, Judge Thomas. Oh, man, I'm telling you. And if Kennedy will join him, that's great. Then we'll have a 5-4 majority. Not so, because John Roberts is a socialist best friend. The gay community would have castigated the guy, or maybe emasculated the guy. Of course, if he's not masculine, how could you emasculate a gay? But that's another story. There are probably ways. But hear me out, friends. John Roberts wanted to go down to his gay parties, his swinging gay parties, and say, see, I supported our homosexual president, Barack Obama. Didn't I do good, boys? And they'll put their arms around him, kiss him a little bit on the ear, and say, good job, John boy. Now, you think I'm making this up? No, just reporting. A reprobate was made Supreme Court Chief Justice by another reprobate on the advice of three of his reprobate administration pals. Let's continue on our secrets here. Well, Robert Shuler retired, Dr. Robert Shuler, the apostate pastor of the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. And guess what? They had a big split in the church between those who wanted to continue on the liberal path of Robert Shuler and others who wanted to be a little bit more conservative. Ended with a bunch of big walkout by people. Basically, the bottom line is the church went bankrupt after Robert Shuler retired. That's right, the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California went bankrupt. Well, guess who's now bought it up? The famous sanctuary, its towers, the Roman Catholic Diocese. The Crystal Cathedral is now a Catholic church, or it will be in 6 months. They've given the old Shuler faction 6 months to get out. And the Crystal Cathedral, the old congregation announced it will vacate the church by June of 2013. Actually, that's a year. They're taking even longer than they were given, I guess. They probably got an extension. Well, the church had taken in at one time up to $58 million a year, but it fell on hard times. And now the Catholic Church will take over. You know, I want to emphasize again, I have an article here from the Los Angeles Times. Let's switch from America to overseas to the potential war that's gathering steam. We have picked a war with Israel, with Syria simply because they're an ally of Iran. And now America and Israel have chosen to try to terrify, to frighten Iran and to just turn it over to the government to them. Now, we're told it's because Iran is developing nuclear weapons. But in fact, a U.S. intelligence assessment by 16 U.S. intelligence agencies. Okay? In fact, two straight assessments in 2007 and 2011 put out reports that said that Tehran and Iran are not taking any actions to develop and build a nuclear warhead. Did you get that? Iran is not building a nuclear bomb. They don't have one. They're not building one. That's 16 United States intelligence agencies all jointly issuing a statement twice in a row, 2007, 2011. So whatever you hear put out by Israeli propagandists or Israeli first American evangelicals like John Hagee and all the nuts, or Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, we've got to stop Iran from having nuclear bombs. They don't have any. They're not planning any. They're not working on any. It's all a big lie. Just like Saddam Hussein. We've got to stop Saddam Hussein or mushroom clouds will be all over American cities, said Condoleezza Rice. Turned out to be a lie. Hey, here's another lie. It's called climate change or global warming. Now, it turns out that writing for Forbes magazine, one of the top climate change experts, I call him an alarmist, Steve Zwick, has said that he's concerned about people who don't believe in global warming. And he says they're really a danger to the world. You, my friends, are a big danger to the world if you don't believe in global warming. Now, I know that our National Space Agency, NASA, their weather, top weather bureau, has put out a report recently that shows that for 13 straight years, the world has been cooling on average. 13 straight years, we have global cooling. Well, the climate change so-called people, the global warming people, don't want to accept the official statistics. So they're sticking with their guns. And this climate change, global warming nut, Steve Zwick, writing in Forbes magazine, says that anybody who doesn't agree with these theories of global warming that Mitt Romney backs, yes, he's one of those carbon, you know, you got to pay taxes on every gasoline engine and all this throughout the world and have it collected by the United Nations and all that. That's right. Mitt Romney is an environmental wacko nut, as is Barack Obama. And Zwick says if you don't believe like Barack Obama and Mitt Romney and the other environmental crazies, you should be, now get this, quote, tracked, hunted down, and have their homes burned to the ground. Wow. If you don't believe like they do, this is religion to them, folks. You should be tracked, hunted down, and you should have your home burned to the ground. Wow. Wow. He says, Mr. Zwick says, let the deniers of climate change and global warming, let them stand and watch their houses burn down. He says, fire departments in every town and county in America should be empowered to carry out the law and burn down the houses of anybody that doesn't believe in global warming. He went on a rant. And anyone who questions global warming propaganda, that's what should be your fate. He says, we know who you are, you denialist people. We know who you are. Let's start keeping track of them now. And when the famines come, let's make them pay. Let's let their houses burn. Swap their land for submerged island. Force them to bear the cost of rising food prices. They should have to pay for what they believe. Folks, they're going to do that to Christians too. In fact, here's something that just came in over the wire this week. It seems that, let's see now, this man in Minneapolis, Minnesota, has been ordered by a federal judge, told he cannot hand out Bibles anymore. Now, on public land, there in the Twin Cities area, Minneapolis, St. Paul, they have a big pride fest. That's for gays. And tens of thousands of gays come out, and they have dancing and all their little partying in the public. It's a public festival. Everybody's invited, but don't come if you're a Christian. Now, this particular gentleman, evidently, has been coming every year and passing out free Bibles. He and his family. They even set up a booth there, and they pay the city for the booth. And you see, they allow environmentalists, gay people, to hand out literature, but they did not want this Christian man. So they ordered him not to. Well, he came anyway, and he was arrested. And now a federal judge has ordered him not to hand out Bibles. Says it may cause a disturbance. It may offend people. You know what? The judge is right. I think gay people are angry, evil, wicked reprobates. And they will get angry if you try to correct them. And if you hand out a Bible, they know what the Old Testament says. They know what the New Testament says. They know what God did in Sodom and Gomorrah. Burned the old homosexual rebels there to a crisp, didn't he, folks? They don't like God. They don't like you and me. This man's got him a Christian lawyer, and he's trying to fight this. I don't know if he'll win or not. Let's pray that he will win. Let's pray that he'll make a lot of homosexuals good and angry. You know, when Lot preached against homosexuality in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you know the homos were mad at him? Of course they were. Wanted to stop him. Well, let's just say he did leave town. But something happened thereafter, didn't it? Hey, I was talking about the guy in Forbes magazine, the environmental nut, that says you and I should be tracked down, our homes burnt down because of we don't believe in global warming. Now, yet again, the World Wildlife Fund, you know, Prince Philip over in England was the head of that, has now released a report which calls for all carbon emissions to be banned by the year 2050. Mitt Romney would back that. And for the entire human population to live in a state of poverty in order to preserve rare species and save the planet. Southern Baptist Convention has gone on record as saying the Great Commission of Christ has two parts. One is to save Mother Earth, and one is to save human souls. Somehow, I never really read that. When Jesus said, go ye into all the world, preaching the kingdom of God, I didn't know he said, go out there and preach about global warming. It's a new thing. The Southern Baptists, they must be spiritual holy men, don't you think? Those pastors? And now, of course, they have women pastors in the Southern Baptist ranks. But the World Wildlife Fund says, we've got to give up all these things. You got a lawnmower? That emits carbons. You got a hair dryer? Carbons, probably. You got an automobile? Yep. You riding a bus? Yeah. You take airplane trips? Yeah. Carbon emissions. It's a no-no. And World Wildlife Fund's going to be on your back. Hey, you hear about Michelle Bachmann? She suddenly up and says she wants to be a citizen not only of the United States, but also Switzerland. Evidently, Swiss citizens don't have to pay many taxes. So Michelle Bachmann, who is a tax agent, tax lawyer, used to work for the IRS. She tried to hide that during the campaign. Remember, you know Michelle Bachmann. She ran for president, the Congress lady. She announced that she was now a Swiss citizen and an American citizen. Now, her husband, it is said, is also of Swiss descent. And he claimed his right to citizenship, and she automatically gained it as well, as did the couple's three youngest children. Dual citizens. I'm a citizen of Switzerland, says Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. That's sort of like, you know, who was the chief White House chief of staff? You know, Mr. Krull, Rahm Emanuel. Boy, talk about a gay ballet star. He was one, wouldn't he? Well, he's mayor of Chicago. He still runs around with he and Obama, Barack Obama. You know, they had all those gay pals there in Chicago. Rahm's there now enjoying the bathhouses in Chicago. Well, he was a citizen of Israel, and he was pouring through all of this top secret material in the White House as the White House chief of staff, a citizen of Israel. Well, I'm a dual citizen. Folks, listen to me. Double-minded in all, double-minded people, the Bible says, are unstable in all their ways. Michelle Bachmann, after all the controversy came up, she said, okay, I've decided I won't accept my Swiss citizenship. I'll just be an American. Well, how nice. Now, how about all you Israeli firsters out there? If you believe Israel is a better country than America, you want to be an Israeli citizen, go there, shut up, resign your congressional post, lay down being a pastor in some church here in America. If you're an Israeli firster, go over there, help them build that country. Get out. I don't want you. Mitt Romney, meanwhile, has announced over the next week or two, he is going to go on a trip to Israel. He's been there several times before. Now he's going again. Now, Israel has 7.5 million people. America has 315 million. He wants to be president of the United States, so why is he going over to visit Israel? Why don't he go into 50 states in America and learn about the American people? Hey, Mitt, are you running for prime minister of Israel? Then go there and shut up and leave us. We don't want you anymore. And by the way, you can take your sidekick, Israeli first propagandist Barack Obama, with you. Wouldn't that make a pair? Members of the Israeli Knesset, Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, they could run against each other for prime minister of Israel. I'm Tex Mars. I've run out of time. Boy, I had so much more to go. I was just starting to have fun. It's fun to tell the truth. It's fun to expose evil. And my prayer is you have fun as you listen to this program each week. And discovering the power of prophecy.